This past week, the Fed once again raised interest rates by 75 basis points. It was by no means a surprise, yet the results of this action might surprise, maybe even confuse some. Maybe it's you. Why is the Fed doing this? If it's meant to avoid a recession, then why am I paying more for food and my kids' clothes? Is there more of this to come, and what will determine all that? Here to help us better understand and the purpose and the goals of the Fed with rates is Senior Fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. Thanks for being here today, Ryan.
Thank you.
CEI.org. You can find out more about a variety of issues, one of which we're talking about here, that Ryan and the other folks at the Competitive Enterprise Institute place a focus on and help you better understand. When you look at the economy today, the current rate of inflation, 8.26%, next report on that number is October 13th. You take that along with other elements of the current economy, compare that with the 2008 financial crisis, you could make certainly the claim that we're worse off now versus then. Is there anything that we could see then that the Fed did that telegraphs what they're going to do next with the economy, inflation, and trying to avoid just a full-out recession?
Well, what's happening now is basically the result of the Fed screwing up its COVID response. They wanted to stimulate the economy, so they grew the money supply by 40%, which is unheard of. They didn't do that during the financial crisis. They didn't do that during the Great Depression. They didn't do that at any other time in American history. At the same time, they grew that money supply by 40%. Real output grew by only 4%. That's how much stuff people are making, goods and services.
Right.
When you have that kind of imbalance, 40% versus 4%, you're literally changing the exchange rate between dollars and real stuff. That alone explains 90% of what's happening with inflation. So what the Fed's doing now is they're trying to essentially do a better job of playing that matching game, trying to get what the Fed is doing with the money supply back in line with what the real economy is doing, and the interest rates are a part of that.
But the problem becomes, too, whatever action the Fed takes, it's not like flicking a switch and all of a sudden things change. There's a lag time. In effect, does the Fed have to become a predictor in a way, almost saying, boy, we hope this works?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The famous saying among economists for the lag times is that they are long and variable, which is a fancy way of saying they don't exactly know what's going on. It's generally anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half, which lines up, the big COVID money creation spree lines up very well with the biggest, the worst of today's inflation. And that's also why most people think, including me, that it's starting to come down. It's going to start coming down a little bit, and it's probably already peaked. And the nice thing is the big money supply indicator has actually been flat for a few months already. So give that a few more months for the lag time to kick in and for all that to work its way through all the economy. And inflation should start coming down, but even in a best-case scenario, we're still going to see rapidly increasing prices for food and other important items at least into next year.
There are some who are saying that before we get to any sort of turnaround or recovery, there's going to be an increase of unemployment, which if production and productivity is part of the key to turning this whole thing around, if there is a significant job loss, doesn't that create a problem?
It could. So far, to my surprise, the labor market has actually been pretty strong. Unemployment is pretty low. Part of that is because labor force participation is gone. If people get discouraged and just stop looking for work, they don't show up in those numbers. So that low 3.7% number that we're seeing looks good historically, but it doesn't tell us the whole story. But even accounting for that, the labor market's in very good shape. I think a bigger obstacle is a lot of regulations such as occupational licensing requirements, zoning and permit regulations, supply chain barriers like tariffs and what's going on at ports. Those are creating a lot of friction. That is blocking opportunities. It's preventing goods from getting to stores. It's preventing people with ideas from starting their own businesses and hiring workers. Those sort of obstacles, I think, are a lot more important for increasing the supply side of the economy. The Fed's starting to do the right thing on the monetary side with the money supply, but the real goods and services part of the economy, there's a lot that Congress can do to help.
So with Ryan Young, Senior Fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. with what you said, too, about regulations, limitations. I saw a report a few days ago, too, that Amazon, while still looking to grow, is starting to decrease their growth as far as centers, fulfillment centers, warehouses, things like that, basically because they're running into regulations that make it a little more unfriendly for what they want to do.
That's right. Not only is land very expensive right now, but you know, if you want to get a permit and environmental reviews and all that sort of thing, it can take years to open up a new warehouse or a new factory or a new fulfillment center. So Amazon is not the only one having those kinds of troubles.
For the credit consumer right now, if they're holding a variable rate loan of any kind, how much pain are they in for in the immediate future?
Quite a bit, unfortunately. I mean, the Fed screwed up and no way around it. We will pay the price, and that is part of that price. They're starting to do the right thing, but even if they are trying for a soft landing, there's still going to be some pain involved. We're hoping to avoid a recession. That remains to be seen. But yes, anyone with a variable rate mortgage is going to see substantial increase in their price because they are paying part of the price for what Congress, the president, have done overspending and what Fed did with overreacting with monetary stimulus.
Mortgages, auto financing, credit cards, the list goes on from there. And I guess the fear would be how many of those people with those variable rate loans are just on that edge of the cliff where this is going to send them over, and how large is that number going to wind up being?
I don't have a number for you.
Yes.
My hope is that the people at or near the cliff is small and that people have been smart about planning ahead for these sorts of things. But some people will pay prices that are frankly unfair through no fault of their own because of this.
You hear politicians, I won't mention any specific names, but the end the Fed, stop the Fed, defund the Fed, whatever the case may be. But like it or not, this is the sole responsibility of the Fed if you want to get down to who can, in effect, either resolve or prevent inflation recession. Strange to say, a president and Congress really can't do a lot of anything.
No, I mean, their multi-trillion-dollar spending bills certainly have not helped, but you know, I told you that money creation story, that is all on the Fed, and that explains the vast majority of today's inflation. So if we want to treat that, Congress actually can do something by binding the Fed to a rule. The reason they were able to grow the money supply by 40% in the first place is because they have almost unlimited discretion. If they were bound by a rule where if the economy grows by 2%, then they grow the money supply by some sort of matching amount, lots of ways to go about it, that kind of rule would prevent that kind of crisis overreaction that really made the COVID economy a lot worse than it needed to be.
Now, we've seen a series of 75 basis point increases. Will the next increase or increases be at that level? And what is their ultimate goal as far as the rate of inflation? Again, I mentioned it was currently 8.26%.
They're going to keep increasing it through at least the end of the year. The next meeting is in about 6 weeks. The amount of the increase will depend on what next month's inflation numbers are. Those will come out probably middle of October. So what they want to do is they want to have the federal funds rate more closely match the inflation rate. So even with all the increases done so far, that's sitting between 3 and 3.25% compared to the core rates of inflation that the Fed uses at about double that. So there's still a huge imbalance. So even with the rate increases, it's still expansionary when they want money to be neutral or even contract a little bit. So more increases are on the way. They want to get it closer to those core inflation rates. So we'll see what happens. I hope we're past the peak. So the Fed might be a little more lenient, but if they need to be more aggressive, we'll find out soon.
Is a 3% rate of inflation a comfort zone for growth, economic stability, or ideally is it possible to see it lower than that and still have a realistic economy?
Their target is 2%. 3% is tolerable. What matters more, though, than what the level of inflation is that it's stable. So that way people can plan around it. They can make investments and sign contracts knowing that the dollars, they'll at least be able to predict what they're going to do even if that dollar is inflating. When the Fed says they want price stability, that doesn't necessarily mean zero inflation, even though that's what I personally would prefer. As long as they keep it stable at 2% or 3% or whatever benchmark you want to use, stability is key here.
Learn more about this issue, other key issues. that affects you as well as a grander scale as well. You can learn about this at the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. He is one of the senior fellows, Ryan Young. Ryan, thanks for the education and insight into an issue that can confuse some. They wonder why it does impact them, and I think you help them understand better as well as be a little more wise with their personal finance too. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.